Well, a lot of voters no doubt look for leadership and crisis management skills when they step into the booth to cast their ballot for president. So for a window into Mitt Romney's experience in that department, we turn to an infamous tragedy back in 2006 when several tons of concrete tumbled from the ceiling of a big dig tunnel and crushed a woman to death in the passenger seat of her car. Romney's handling of the Big Dig crisis is the latest in WBUR's Romney's Roots in Massachusetts series, and it was reported by WBUR's Bianca Vasquez-Tonis, who joins us now. Hello, Bianca.
Hi, Adam.
So take us back to 2006 and the death of Milena Del Vejo.
Well, first you have to understand just how terrifying this event was. Some 15,000 people would drive through that tunnel every day.
Sure.
And there had already been other problems such as leaks, not to mention the fact that it cost so much and took so long to build. And it was run by a quasi-governmental agency that was just unaccountable to the public. So people were profoundly skeptical of this project already. And then it killed someone. And the guy in charge of the Big Dig at the time made matters worse when he called the accident an anomaly.
Not exactly reassuring, is it?
No. So Romney swept in and said, it's time for an independent assessment of the Big Dig. Mm-hmm. Here's Romney in his first press conference.
People should not have to drive through the turnpike tunnels with their fingers crossed. Neither I nor anyone else could be or should be satisfied until we have new leadership at the Turnpike Authority.
So, Bianca, listening back to that tape, Romney just basically threw the Turnpike Authority chairman under the bus. How did that help the situation?
Well, Romney took responsibility for assuring the safety of the tunnel going forward. He's a data-driven guy, and he quickly understood and synthesized the technical information, and he presented it to the public, mm-hmm. clearly and forthrightly. He also commissioned a stem-to-stern review of the tunnel to see what else was wrong, and they found stuff. And they made plans to fix those things. This may have been political theater, since Romney was already preparing his first bid for president. But even his biggest critics agree that he restored public confidence in that tunnel, if not the whole Big Dig project. But like you said, he blamed Matt Amarello, mm-hmm. the Turnpike Authority chairman. Boston Globe columnist Joan Vinanke wrote a column at the time about Romney's leadership.
He chose to focus on one person, Matt Amarello, who was someone he had not appointed to the job of overseeing the Big Dig. And he made it all about this one person. And he was a scapegoat for everything bad that had happened. When you were talking about years of politicians letting this go on and nobody really saying, let's stop, let's take a look at this. Is this safe? I don't think he did it any more than anybody that preceded him.
Bianca, what was Romney's relationship to the management disaster that was the Big Dig before the accident? Had he ever tried to take it over?
Well, it really depends on who you ask. Romney did make a campaign promise to take over the Turnpike Authority while he was running for governor. He said he wanted to do an audit of the project's workmanship. He tried to go to the Supreme Court to fire Matt Amarello. None of those things worked. Christy Myhos was on the Turnpike board at the time, and he says that Romney basically didn't try hard enough, that he brought tons of concerns and proof of safety problems to Romney before the accident.
Mitt always had intentional indifference to the Turnpike Authority's issues and the Big Dig problems. But he had a front seat to all of this and just chose to do nothing.
That's a damning way of looking at it. What does Romney say to that?
Well, Romney wouldn't talk to us for this story, but back in 2006, people were saying the same things to him, and he responded by saying that he did try. He tried really hard, but the State House didn't want him to get control since the Turnpike Authority was a haven of patronage, a place where lawmakers' friends and allies could get high-paying jobs. One of Romney's top administrators, Tom Tremarco, told me that Romney did work hard to get control of the Turnpike Authority, but he ran into trouble with State House leaders who supported Amarello. And these were the same leaders Romney needed on his side to pass universal health care legislation.
He needed to work closely with the Senate president and the speaker on that issue, and they agreed to disagree on Amarillo when the governor backed off.
So Romney knows how to trade horses is the takeaway here.
Yeah, but well, back in 2006, it appears he did.
Bianca, just briefly, what did you feel like you learned about Romney's character from doing this story?
That he was supremely data-driven. He knew how to find the right people to surround himself with when there was a problem. He didn't cut corners in those places, and he didn't just pick people who might agree with him or might be in his party. He actually went after and found independent experts.
WBR's Bianca Vasquez-Tonis, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For the rest of WBUR's series on Romney's roots in Massachusetts, head to WBUR.org. Stay with us. Up next, Brian Scarry is an acclaimed ocean photographer and the explorer in residence at the New England Aquarium. We'll talk to him about his new anthology of photographs. I'm Adam Ragusea. This is Radio Boston.